Matthew chapter 12, verse 24 through 29. But before we read that, we're going to do our Bible affirmation. If you don't know it, don't worry about it. The words will appear on your screen. But if you have your Bible or your electronic device, and if you don't have anything, just lift your hands just as a sign to say, look, God, I'm saying this by faith. Amen. Come on, let's say this together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. How many of y'all believe that? Come on, say it again. Say, I open my heart to hear God speak a word that's going to change my life forever. All right, Matthew chapter 12, verse 24 through 29. We're reading out of the New King James Version. If you don't have that, don't worry. The words are on your screen. For the sake of us reading together, let's all read out of the New King James Version. Matthew 12, 24 through 29. Let's begin. Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast. Does everybody have it? Y'all so quiet. Everybody got it? Okay, all together now like a choir. Ready? No. Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? Father, we thank you for the word this morning. Father, I pray that you would open our minds, our hearts, to understand your word in a new and fresh way. I pray, Lord, that your word would be life-giving, that a rhema word would come, that the logos would be imparted into our spirit, Father. And Lord, I declare over each and every one of our lives that we will reign and rule in victory. I pray, Lord, that you would move me aside, and Holy Spirit, that you would come in and simply have your way in this service in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm ready to reign in victory. Oh, y'all. Let's try that again. Say, I'm ready to reign in victory. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. I'm ready to reign in victory. That is the title of my message today, is Reign in Victory. And this morning I'm going to share with you a principle, but I want to illustrate it to you by a story, because I am an athlete. Somebody say amen. My pastor's an athlete. You got to affirm stuff even if you don't see it. Sit in the spirit. I am an athlete, and I played basketball. She said me too. I played basketball for a long time, had the opportunity to coach in basketball, and one of the things I've been watching my children play sports, and one of the things I began to discover is if you know you're going to win a game, it changes the way you approach the game. If you had a guarantee that every time you step on the basketball court, you are going to win, no matter who you're playing against, whether you're playing against a two-year-old and you're grown, you know you're going to beat them. Some of y'all be playing with two-year-olds, trying to be nice. That ain't teaching them nothing. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Y'all dunking over two-year-olds. Ooh! Right? Or you're playing against LeBron James. You should have a confidence to know that you... See, y'all got quiet. I can't beat LeBron. Well, what if I told you that LeBron is hurt that day? That means that whatever you do, you're going to beat him. You're going to go and approach that game with confidence. You're going to approach the game like, I was made to reign in victory. I was made to win this game. I am going to knock them out. And when you approach the game like that, what happens? You begin to play like that. You play with confidence. You begin to do stuff you only did in private that you thought nobody else ever saw you do. You say, I can do it now on the court. I don't have no athletes in the room. Don't nobody know what I'm talking about? You in your mind have a dream of you doing a 360 in the air slam dunking over LeBron. And then all of a sudden, when you get this confidence, you go in. It might be a 180, but it's close enough. You're doing the turn, and you got your dunk going. You might not dunk. It might just be a layup, but you get it up. Come on, somebody. Because I have a confidence. See, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about because you don't realize what it is to truly have confidence that you will have victory over something. Well, I want to encourage you today that God wants us to have confidence that we are going to have victory in every situation in our life. That is not a question. That is not a probability. That is a promise and a guarantee. Because you were made to reign and rule, not just to reign and rule, but to reign in victory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Some of y'all don't believe me. Today, what I want to do is instill you with confidence through the word of God that you were designed to have victory over every situation that you face. We have been in this series called Made to Reign, and we've spent the last few weeks discussing the fact that God created the earth and gave man the earth to have dominion over all the earth. We talked about the fact that God wanted to colonize the earth or make the earth look like heaven. We also began to talk about Adam and Eve and how they were created in God's image and how God gave them dominion when he said in Genesis 1:28, let them have dominion over the earth. And then we looked at the fact that Adam and Eve sinned, but we discovered that they never lost dominion. Y'all remember that? We discovered that they did have what is called the curse. God never cursed them. He cursed the ground and he cursed the serpent, but he never cursed Adam and Eve. And what he said to them is, I have not removed my purpose or my plan for you to be fruitful and multiply, to have dominion, to fill the earth and subdue it. I've never changed that plan. But in order for you now, because sin has entered into the world, to be able to do that, you are going to have to work for it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a labor. We talked then about the fact that God's purpose for our life has not changed. No matter how we've sinned, no matter how we've messed up, no matter what we've done, that God still has a purpose for us to be fruitful and multiply in some sense in our life. And the fact is that we still have dominion even if we don't feel like we have it. We were still made to rule and reign even if we don't feel like we were made to rule and reign. We discussed last time that there was a switch because we wanted to know if that's the case, if we were made to reign and rule, if we never lost dominion when sin happened, then why is it that Satan seems to be ruling the earth? As a matter of fact, Jesus even calls him the ruler of this world. And we looked at the fact that Jesus was truly saying this world, as in this world system, as in those who are non-believers and who are not walking with God. But he never said that he was ruler over believers. It was interesting because we talked last time about the fact that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the way Satan actually said to Jesus when he was tempting him on the mountain, he said, look, all the kingdoms of the world have been handed over to me. And we talked about how did they get handed over to Satan? And we realized that God spoke with authority when he created the earth. His authority happened when he spoke. And the way we still have authority and dominion on the earth is when we speak. So when the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, when we speak, we are either speaking and handing over, come on somebody, authority to Satan, death, or we're handing and walking in the authority of God that he's given us. So our words will determine if Satan really is in control or if God is in control. Let me see if I can help you. When you get a diagnosis from the doctor, what comes out of your mouth will determine who's in control. Oh, yeah, but Pastor, I have to say how I feel. The problem is Satan wants us to talk about how we feel. Because if you talk about how you feel, you release his rulership in the earth. That's why he makes you feel so bad, so bad. He tried to make you feel so bad. He just tries to get you to feel so down. And so discouraged and so hopeless, like life isn't working, so that all you do is talk about how life is bad and how it's not good and how, watch this, nothing's ever going to change. When you say that, you have just opened up the rail for Satan to come in and not change anything. God is like, how can I change anything when your words keep saying nothing's ever going to change? I was praying for something. I was believing God. and I was praying it for someone else, and I was believing God and believing God and believing God. And I said, Lord, I know you're going to do this because your word says this. And God spoke to me, and God says, you have a competing word happening. And I was like, ugh. And what God was saying, the person you're praying for isn't praying that same thing. They're actually, in fact, praying the exact opposite. So your word, watch this, is competing with their word. And God is like, because this is their dominion, not yours. This is their, because I was praying for something for them. Because this is their dominion, God says, I got to go with what they say. I was like this, dang. Dang. Some of us don't realize that what we're competing against when we're praying for other people is that we are praying for God to invade a dominion, and we're asking God to come in, but the other person, come on somebody, they're speaking a different word over them. It's their territory. Your word don't have a whole lot of weight. Now you're trying to move and sway in the spirit to hopefully get their word to line up. Come on somebody. That's the reason why praying for people to get saved is such an arduous task. Because some people are just like, I ain't giving up this. I'm going to stay like this till I die. Come on, somebody. Ain't nobody else heard people say that besides me? And they look at us like we're crazy when we're believers. I'm like, I got hope. I got joy. I got peace. You're the one sitting over there depressed, got an attitude, don't like nobody, hate your job, hate your family, hate your life. I mean... And then they got the nerve to say, well, you just got this pie in the sky mentality. If it's on Jesus, I sure do. Well, let me tell you, my pie in the sky mentality is working. But you trying to kill yourself. I'm just saying. So when we're praying, we're fighting over dominion over somebody's life. That's why Jesus tells us we have to be persistent like the widow, and we have to keep praying because we're trying to bombard. We're fighting. We're going against territory that that person doesn't want to let go. You are fighting in the spirit over that. That's what the fight is over. But that also happens in our own life. When we pray something in our prayer closet and we pray, God, I believe you're healing me. I believe that I'm prosperous. I believe I'm coming out of debt. And then we walk out of our prayer closet and we was like, dang, this thing ain't gonna never go away. God's saying you got a competing word. And the reason why you're not seeing God move quicker in your situation is because he don't know how to have dominion, because you give him dominion, then you give Satan dominion. Then you give him dominion, then you give Satan dominion. Then you give him dominion, then Satan dominion. And Satan is sitting here like, I got you exactly where I want to, because I'm going to keep playing this tennis match with you. Because as long as I got you in this tennis match, one day I'm going to get a hard ball right back to you and return it, and you ain't going to be able to do nothing with it. And you're going to stop saying what God says. You're just going to keep on saying what you feel. People of God, stop saying what you feel. I got a right, we talked about last week. No, you don't. If no one has ever told you that you don't have a right to say what you feel, let me be the first to tell you, you don't. I love this church, you can be real. You don't have a right to say whatever you want to say. When you want to say it, where you want to say it, how you want to say it, and who you want to say it to. No, when you gave your life to Jesus, every part about you became about him. That's why we said, nevertheless, I want to cuss you out, but nevertheless. You deserve me talking about you right now, because what you're doing is not very bright, but nevertheless. Nevertheless. Look at your spouse. Your spouse says something that's mean, and you know you got something that you can come back with, and it's right what you're about to say. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. See, what I'm trying to tell you how to really live as a Christian. Because this ain't about coming to the altar saying a prayer, Jesus come to my life, that's it, and I walk out and I keep doing what I want to do, and wondering why there is no change happening in my life. See, we're fighting over territory. That was last week's message. I got excited. I'm still excited on last week's word. So this week, I discovered that I wanted to talk to you because I was struggling with this issue of the fact that we still have dominion, but Satan is tricking us. Satan is getting us to say, so. How then do we, because if we're not saved, if you have not given your life to Jesus, you don't know another word. The only word you know is what's been told you. That's why the Bible says he's the prince of the air. That's why the airwaves are filtering stuff and telling you what to think. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. You can watch TV all day long. I've been watching TV for a long time, 40 years, in fact. think I came out of the womb watching TV. You know, that little box that it had aluminum foil on the antennas with some hangers, and you turn the TV channel like this, and you had to, it was hard. Like that, you remember, it would make a sound when you turn the TV channel. Y'all remember that? I grew up in the day where I was the remote control. I would be outside playing with my friends. Shayna! Shayna! I'm thinking, oh my God, something's wrong. Come in the house. Hand me that remote right there. No. That was when things got advanced. Back in the day, she would say, can you change the channel? I was like, I was all the way down the street. I don't care. Go change the channel. Then I change it. She said, wait, you got to move the antenna because it's not coming in so good. Wait, matter of fact, just do it like this. Stand there. Don't move. Right there. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. We are under the sway of the enemy. And we're growing up today where we're watching TV, where TV used to be wholesome, where we had Leave It to Beaver. And we used to watch families who were in concert, mother, father, working together in love. And they would teach their children right and wrong. And father always, remember that show, Father Knows Best. But nowadays, we're growing up in a time where daddy's not on TV in the home, or daddy is the unsmart one in the home. Daddy is the butt of all the jokes. Or better yet, Modern Family says that that's not what a family looks like. Family looks like this. Family is not between one man, one woman. Family is now between people of the same gender. And we are being lulled. We didn't have all these scenes that were inappropriate on TV back in the day. Ward and June pecked each other on the cheek. Now we got all, I'm like, this gotta be rated R TV. This ain't even in the movies. But we don't understand that we are under the sway of the wicked one. And we're watching it and we're wondering, we are being desensitized to the things that are of God. And we're struggling now what is right and what is wrong, because everything we see says that what we believe is wrong. And we are now confused. And what's happening is Satan got you right where he wants you. That's why I love Operation Solid Lives, because just simply for 4 weeks, we say, cut that stuff out. Not for the rest of your life, because we know that you live in, you know, you got to be able to talk about Blackish or something. At least know what it is. So you can completely remove yourself, but to be able to have a period where you can simply hear from God. Okay, I got to get to my message, because this is just so heavenly. So good, so scrumptious. So the Bible says that Satan is the prince of this air. He also talks about in Ephesians 2:2 that we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Before we came to Jesus, all we knew was the stuff in the world. We didn't know right. We didn't know what God, we didn't have a true understanding. There was something that made us want it, but we didn't know what it was. We didn't know what the truth was, and we had no idea. You ever realize that before you got saved, you was doing wrong and you didn't think it was wrong? There was absolutely nothing wrong in your mind with what you were doing. And then when you came to Christ, you was like, dag, that's wrong too? I didn't even know. Because you had no knowledge, but now you come to the world, you come to Christ, and Christ begins to change this. So we go through all of these things. And I said to myself, God, how did we get tricked so bad? Because when I look at scripture told us in Genesis 4:7, it said, this was before Jesus Christ even came, after the fall, God said to them, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you. But I love God's words, you should rule over it. Even before Jesus Christ came, God was saying, you should have authority and dominion over sin in your life. Your life shouldn't be like this. This is before Jesus even got on the cross. Jesus hadn't even become incarnate, walked around in the earth. He's saying, you should still rule over it. So I wondered, I said, why is it that if we were supposed to have all of this dominion and all of this rulership and all of this authority, how in the world does the world now look just like Satan's king? What did we do wrong? What needs to happen? What in the world is happening? And I think that Jesus helps us in our focal passage to understand exactly what went down. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 24, the Pharisees are coming because Jesus has just cast out a demon in somebody. Now, Pharisees were religious leaders, but you need to know that religious leaders weren't all so holy. They just were. You ever seen people come to church, but they ain't no church in them? That was the Pharisees. You know, they come to church, they still cuss people out, but, you know, Whatever. Well, that's some of us, but that church is still in us. Let me rephrase. They believe in the rules over a relationship with God. So here comes Jesus, and they're so focused on the rules, and they said, look, this fellow Jesus, he doesn't cast out demons except by Beelzebub. Beelzebub was what they would call the prince of demons, or the one who was over demons. He's saying, look, the only way this guy's casting out demons like this is because he's a demon himself. And Jesus' response, he's so cool, because they hadn't even said it, but Jesus knew their thoughts, the Bible said. And in verse 25, he says, y'all so crazy. Oh, that's my translation, my bad. He says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. He says, look, this doesn't even make sense. Every city or house that's divided cannot stand. If Satan were to cast out Satan, watch this, he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? What ruler do you know cast out his own self from his kingdom? That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is like, y'all don't make no sense. And if in fact that Satan, if I cast out, verse 27, demons by Beelzebub, then what about your kids who are casting out demons? Because there were people who were casting out demons back then. What about them? Are you trying to say they're from Satan too? And they got all quiet. Well, Jesus says, let me help you. But if, check this out. If I cast out demons, just let's think through this theory. If I were to cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then surely, check out the terminology, the kingdom of God has come to you. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God comes. Why? Because Satan, when he has bound somebody up, has now gained territory and rulership over that person's life. That's the Bible talking about. They be going crazy, cutting themselves. And now, see, y'all don't realize that the stuff we see today is still demonic. You know, they got kids that are cutters. In the Bible, we see people who were demon-possessed who kept cutting themselves. It is a spirit that's coming to try to, watch this, what does Satan try to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. So we got kids. There was something that I heard, something about this slender man. These two girls decided to go get their friend because this slender man told them that they should kill her. They're 12 years old. They plotted to take her in the woods and kill her and stab her. I'm sorry, that didn't come from God. That is Satan trying to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Because if I can get these 12-year-old girls to kill them, I have completely destroyed every work that God could possibly do in their life. And I've surely destroyed the work in the other girl's life because she's dead. You have to understand this. And Jesus is saying, wait a minute. Territory has been gained, been lost because they don't know. They don't realize what's happening. Slender man, who the heck is he? I don't know. But somehow or another, it's gotten in these girls' mind. Watch this. The prince of the air is working. See, all the bad stuff that happened in the world ain't God's fault. We got to stop acting like, God, why would you allow people? Because Satan is trying to have a kingdom, and Satan, watch this, is trying to, Satan uses people to go crazy and do crazy stuff. Watch this. And so what's happening is Jesus is saying, well, wait a minute, if I now cast that demon out, then, watch this, I am now releasing that person from the kingdom of Satan. If I do that, there's only two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. If I release him from that, then I am saying that the kingdom of God has just showed up in that person's life. And God, Jesus is like, look, I'm trying to get everybody out from under the control of Satan's kingdom and trying to bring them under the authority of the kingdom of God. Because I want, watch this, the earth to look like heaven. Oh, okay. Y'all getting this now. So he goes on and he says, check this out. This is where it gets very interesting because he begins to give an understanding about why Satan has so much power. He goes, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. It is very interesting because the commentaries on this scripture tell us that Jesus is the stronger man and Satan is the strong man. That Satan has come and bound up God's people. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm a stronger man. I'm coming to release the people from the strong man. Now, let me see if I can help y'all. If you are in your house by yourself, your house is peaceful. Your goods, the things in your home are protected. The only way, somebody can't knock knock at your door and say, can I have all your stuff? And you say, sure. Come on in. Take whatever you'd like. Nobody in their right mind does that. The only way you're going to come in my house and take my stuff is you're going to have to tie me up and render me completely incapacitated. Come on, somebody, because I'm going to be, if you tie my arms, I'm going to still be kicking. You're going to have to completely, come on, somebody. That's why they put you in a chair. Y'all ever seen the TV shows? And they tie your arms and your legs. Because if, and then people who real smart, you know, MacGyver's like, they got a razor blade right in their arm sleeve and they just cut themselves out. They be scooching the chair. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Nobody in their right mind sits back and says, you can have everything I got. You can have my family. You can have my marriage. You can have my life. You can have my career. You can have my future. You can have my health. You can have everything you want. Go on, go on, go on, go on, take it. No, the only way that we can give that stuff up is if we get bound, tied up. And now what's interesting is the terminology says that the commentaries say that Satan is the strong man and Jesus is the stronger man. But I start thinking about this and I think about us. We are the strong man too. But let's think about this for a second. You have dominion and authority. You have power. Aren't you considered strong? The only way Satan can come to kill, steal, and destroy is if he completely renders you incapacitated and ties you up. So Satan has bound us with drugs, alcohol, lust, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, fear, worry, hatred. All that stuff has come in us and bound us up and crippled us. And we don't understand that when we're sitting back going, I ain't gonna forgive, I ain't gonna forgive, I ain't gonna forgive. We wrapping ourselves right on up in that stuff right there. And we're getting more bound. And when we get bound, Satan is like, ha, I got you. Now I can take your kids. Because, see, you can't forgive them, so I've bound you up, so let me just go steal your relationship with them. Oh, you too wrapped up in debt. Oh, I'm about to preach this real good. You too wrapped up in debt to render anything you have for the kingdom of God, so let me just steal it all anyway. Some of y'all say, I'm so far in debt, I'll never get out. So what you do is keep going further in debt. That's what I mean. Our mind is saying, I'll never get out. But you can't say that because God is like, look, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's no lack in my kingdom. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. But what I can't do is keep going, getting in debt and getting in debt and getting in debt and be like, Jesus, bring me out, bring me out, bring me out. Jesus is like, you tying your own self up. I'm preaching so good, so good, so good. We get bound. Satan doesn't have to do any work to steal your joy. You ever been tied up? You ain't got no joy. Because when you want to go to the bathroom, you can't figure this thing out. All of a sudden now, what was supposed to be easy, watch this, and without toil and without labor, you've now made it harder. And how does he bind us up? It's not like we say, Satan, tie me up. It's the sway of the world. He tricks us. Our thinking, the way we think, what we say, begins to wrap cords around our own selves. And we get so tied up and so entangled. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews, throw away the sin that so easily entangles you. We have no idea that we have given way for Satan to come and steal everything, everything from us. I'm so tired, you're wrapping yourself up. When you get tired, you don't want to fight back. That's why Satan tried to keep you tired. Because if you don't fight back, I can just come in and have access to all your stuff. So the principle is that a strong man, strong man, strong man, strong man, a man with an ability, with a power, gets bound up, and a stronger man comes in and takes everything from him. And I said, Lord, help me understand how we got bound up. Luke chapter 19, verse 12 through 14 gives us an understanding of that. Luke chapter 19 says this. Verse 12 says, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself the kingdom and return. They're actually talking about Jesus. Jesus, they're saying he went off to receive a country. And he goes on, he says, he calls his servants and he tells them, do business till I come back. But that's not what I want to focus on, because we are talking about kingdom business, by the way. This is where the focal passage for the year for me came from. But verse 14 says, but his citizens hated him. Who did they hate? They hated the man who went to go get a kingdom. And sent a delegation after him. And what they said, check out the words. We will not have this man to reign over us. We will not have this man to reign over us. How do we get tied up? We decide that we don't want God to reign over us. We get tied up because we decide we want to be in control of our life. I don't want God to control nothing in my life. I got this. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, where I want to do it, and with who I want to do it with. And every time you say that, you are saying, God, I don't want you to reign over me. But what you don't realize is you don't get rulership. When you decide, I don't want God to be over me, you don't get to say, I'm ruler. Well, matter of fact, when you say, I'm ruler, you sound just like Satan, who was in heaven and decided, I don't want God to rule over me. I want to be God. So it is not that you introduce yourself into rulership. You introduce Satan into rulership over your life. Because those are the very words that Satan used that got him kicked out of heaven. It is that pride and that arrogance that causes us to get wrapped up, because I want to do things my way. Some of y'all are like, that's not me. Yeah, it is. Stop lying. Stop lying to yourself. Every time God tells you you're single, be celibate, and you say, I have needs. Just put Satan on the throne. And then when we come back and things didn't work out with Tyrone like we wanted them to be, or Sean Tweaker, whoever you choose, when they don't work out, then we want to come back to God and say, God, how come you didn't help me? And God is like, you said, I don't want to have God rule over me. This ain't my problem. I can help you fix it, but boo, you got yourself. See, the world don't want to claim responsibility for the stuff we've gotten ourselves into. Drop the mic, walk out, that was good. We all do what Adam and Eve did. It's her fault, it's his fault. You did it, God, you gave me this woman. She gave me the apple to eat, the Satan serpent. We all finger pointing instead of, come on, if you really want to start having reigning in victory, you got to start pointing to yourself and say, wait a minute, there's some stuff I've done. I have said some stuff. I've chosen some. There are moments when I have not made God Lord. That's why we sang, Jesus, you better be the center of this thing. The only way you're going to reign in victory is to choose that God truly is in control. Nevertheless, not my will. Nevertheless, 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 I will choose. Because when I say nevertheless, I say, God, you reign over me. When I say I want to do it my way, I say, Satan, you reign over me. Oh, Pastor, that's not what happens. Yes, it is. Try it. Look back over the decisions you've made in your life that you did without God, and you tell me you ain't get wrapped up, tangled up, tied up, messed up to the flow. Come on, somebody tell me that your life would have been different if you would have just said, yes, God be Lord of my life. Preaching this today. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Ephesians 2:2 tells us, in which you once walked, you used to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works, check out how he works, in the sons of disobedience. How does Satan work when you are disobedient? Oh, you ought to be like this. I want to obey God so bad, so bad. I just want to obey God. Come on. So how do we get out of this? Satan gets us all wrapped up. He gets us all tied up. We've given up our authority with our words. The world has unbelievers that just keep speaking stuff over and over and over. And yet then Jesus tells you, here's how, let me tell you something. God loves us so much that he realized we was messing it up so bad. Jesus says, but I come. In our focal passage, Matthew chapter 12, if I come, I'm going to cast Satan out. And if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God. God, Jesus shows up on the scene and he casts out demon as a visible sign that the kingdom of God is here. See, when you see a drug addict healed, that's a visible sign that the kingdom of God is here. When you see an alcoholic that don't drink no more, but serving God, that's a visible sign that the kingdom of God is here. When you see somebody that has cancer healed, that is a visible sign that the kingdom of God is here. When you see some folks who was about to get divorced, and yet God has turned their marriage around and they still married, that is a visible sign that the kingdom of God. When you see somebody that was mean and nasty and irritable, all of a sudden is loving and kind and gentle, that is a visible sign that the kingdom of God is here. Jesus is saying, when I come into your life, there ought to be a visible sign that the kingdom of God has showed up. What sign have you given the world that the kingdom of God is in you? See, when you're driving on the freeway giving people the finger and you got a fish on your back, that's not a visible sign. That's a whole nother sign. That's a hypocrite. That don't make nobody want to make the world look like the kingdom. I'm preaching this. How do we get out of this? How do we know that we have victory? Colossians 1:13 says this. It says, he has delivered us. That's past tense. He, being Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom. I love that terminology. He didn't just deliver us and take us out and say, okay, now go on your merry way. But he brought us into the kingdom of God. He brought us into the way of his living, the way he thinks. He brought us into a situation where our lives ought to look like heaven right here on earth. In Colossians, he's teaching us that God transferred authority. How did he transfer the authority? How did he take it away from the enemy? Y'all, I talk so much I can't even give you the answer this week. Let me give you a quick fast forward and I'll finish it next week. Here's what it looks like. Y'all was like, don't leave me hanging, Pastor. Tell me how they did it. The cross. The cross. Let me say it again. The cross. The cross. The cross. The cross. Jesus shows up and he says, very clearly, he tells us, he says, I came to destroy the works of the enemy. I came to destroy the work of Satan. And next week, I'm going to show you exactly how he did that, how the cross took the power away from Satan and put the power back into your hands, so that now, every time you face a situation where you don't know how it's going to work out, where you have a choice whether you're going to make God rule or Satan rule, you can choose God. I'm going to tell you next week, I'm going to prove to you through Scripture that if it were not for the cross, every one of us in here would still be completely bound and under the authority of Satan. But somebody ought to praise the Lord that Jesus Christ came and he died for our sins in our place to do this great exchange, so that now rulership can be settled one time in our life when we decide to make Jesus Lord. That's why we say, Jesus, you are Lord. You are owner, master, controller, decision maker, ruler of my life. That is why it's not just, Jesus, I confess that you died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, but I confess that you are my personal, nobody else is the Lord. I have decided that you reign over me. And when I've decided that you reign over me, here's the catch. I made the last decision I'm ever going to make. Because now every decision I make is based on, what do you say? God, what do you say? God, what do you want? People come to my office and say, Pastor, what should I do? I say, what does God say? Pastor, I need more direction. What does God say? Because let me tell you something. I can tell you what I think. But what I think don't mean a hill of beans. What I think could be making you fall to the point where, come on somebody, Satan is back over rulership. But what we better start grasping is, if you are truly Lord of my life, what do you want? What do you think? That's why I say we got to keep singing that song, Jesus, you be the center. You're the center. You're the center. You're the center. You're everything. You're my all. Nothing in this world compares to you. Jesus, you do it. Jesus, and look, you ought to make that declaration every day. Not just once a day, but multiple times a day. Every time you got to make a decision, Jesus, you be the center. You wake up, you're trying to figure out what to put on. Jesus, you reign over my life. Come on. This is how you have victory. This is how you can have confidence. God, I'm facing cancer. Jesus, what do you say? Well, your word said, oh, here we go. See, I know what Jesus says by what his word said. Your word says by your stripes, I am healed. I can move over to 1 Peter 2:24 that puts that in past tense. By your stripes, I was. Don't nobody want to deal with the past tense. I'm going to say, the doctors say this, but I'm going to prove, I'm going to declare. Because see, in the spirit, there is no time. There is no beginning or the end. So in the spirit, I'm already telling, it's done. It was. I was past tense, oversettled, done, healed. And God, every time I want to feel bad, or every time I want to feel down, then you know what I do? I decided I've made Jesus Lord of my life. That was my last choice. And since I've made him Lord, I speak only what he wants me to say. Do you really think Jesus wants to say, I'm going to die? No, I will not die, but I will live to declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm telling you something. I'm telling y'all something. If y'all grasp, you got to come back next week. Whatever you do, come back next week. If you can't make it next week, hit the podcast up next week. But you got to come back, because next week is where it gets real good, where you begin to discover the power that you have to have victory over this junk that has been entangling you and tying you up. I'm going to show you how to get your own little razor blade when you wrapped up and cut yourself free. And I'm going to remind you that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So come on, come on. I'm starting to get a fight in my spirit. Come on, Satan, let's go. Some of y'all so scared of Satan, you don't want to say that. But I want to talk to some people who are not afraid, who are saying, greater is the one living inside of me than the one that's living in the world. I will take back the territory that God has declared that I'm supposed to have. I'm going to take back my marriage. I'm going to take back my children. I'm going to take back my finances. I'm going to take back my future. I'm going to take back the hope and the dreams that God once gave me. I'm going to take back my health. I'm going to take back my joy. I'm going to take back my peace. I'm going to take it all back. I will no longer be a strong man bound. I am going to go to the stronger man who is going to release me and free me and deliver me and set me free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I need some people who want to say, I am tired of being bound. Play that song, Jesus at the Center. I am tired. I'm tired of feeling tired and weary and giving in to my tiredness. And I can't do this no more. I'm sick of it. I just can't have this no more. I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of being worried. I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired. I need some folks who are so tired that they're ready to give up rulership of their life. I'm talking to believers. If that's you, I want you to come to the altar. I want to pray for you. Come on, deacons and pastors, come on up front. Come on, I want to pray for you. I need some folks who said, I'm ready to let this stuff go. I need a razor blade to cut this off. I can't wait till next week, Pastor. Let's cut it off now. Get rid of this mess now and forevermore. Somebody bound in addiction, God wants to deliver you and heal you. Somebody wrestling with sickness, God wants to heal you right now. Somebody who can't seem to forgive somebody, I want you to know God is saying, I'm about to release you right now. Come on, right now. I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm about to give you the secret right now. Come on, listen real close, real close, real close. Hurry up and get to the altar. Some of y'all are so prideful, you won't even get out of your seat. I'm not looking at nobody. Pride says, I will remain in control. Come on, right now.
Jesus, be center of my life.
This is how you break it right now.
Jesus, be the center of my life.
Right now, Father, I put you back on the throne in my life. In every part of my life,
it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus.
Come on, tell them right now, nothing else matters.
Nothing in this world will do.
Come on and tell him right now, Jesus, I'm using the razor blade to make you the center. Satan, you no longer have control of those that are at this altar. We declare right now that everything in our life revolves around Jesus. He is Lord. He is owner. He is master. He is controller. He's ruler. I surrender it all to you, Jesus.